Welcome to the Power of Attorney Project, which is part of our Conversations That Matter podcast. My name is Mary Bart, Chair of Caregiving Matters. This podcast is intended to provide general information only and is not intended to be a substitute for seeking personalized legal, financial, or other advice. This podcast raises issues that our audience can further explore on their own in their own local communities with their own local experts. This project will help to be a call to action for families to solve their issues, find solutions to their problems, and have greater peace of mind.
And today's podcast is called Estate Planning. Can you do it for the person that you are responsible for? And our guest expert today is Doug Carroll. Doug is Vice President, Tax and Estate Planning at Invesco Canada. Welcome, Doug.
Thanks, Mary.
Could you please share a bit of your professional background?
Sure. I'm currently the Vice President of Tax and Estate Planning with Invesco Canada. My background is that I am a lawyer. I did run a practice, a law practice, where I did mostly estate planning and then in turn estate administration type of work. And did that for about a decade, worked with a life insurance company in a consulting role having to do with estate planning and life insurance for quite a number of years. And then now I work for an investment company in a similar role where I provide support to financial advisors who work with us ultimately for their clients, for the public who have tax and estate planning needs.
Great, thank you for that. Now I have a series of questions, so let's get started with my first one.
Okay.
How would you characterize the connection between power of attorney planning and estate planning?
Well, I like to use a definition of estate planning, which is a very broad definition. And sometimes people will make a clear line between what is power of attorney planning versus estate planning. But the definition that I would use when I talk about estate planning is taking care of yourself now and into the future, and taking care of the people around you now, into the future, and when you're no longer around. And power of attorney planning then is a part of the more generic term of estate planning when you look at it in that type of a context.
And my next question is, does this affect how one operates in this role?
Well, the person who is making the decisions, the person who is the attorney, and in terms of being an attorney, it's somewhat an unfortunate phrase just because of how we get overflow from the U.S. media through television. People get a belief sometimes that an attorney is a lawyer because that's a phrase that is used in the American context. An attorney actually, for what we're talking about, is a decision maker. That's the root of that term, attorney. So when a person is acting as that decision maker, as an attorney for someone else, then it is important and it's actually necessary for the person who is operating in that role to take into consideration the existing will and other plans that the person who has granted the power of attorney, that person has put in place. And that includes not only the will, but also beneficiary designations, perhaps, on insurance plans and on tax plans like an RRSP or a registered retirement income fund.
So then my next question is, can estate planning be done effectively?
Well, in a person who is acting as an attorney does have those constraints upon them to make sure that they are not doing something in the role of being the attorney which goes against what the grantor of the document and the power has put in place themselves. So if the attorney was to do something which negates a gift out of the will or changes a beneficiary designation, then that cannot be done. That's a legal limit to what the attorney can do. However, there's an interesting case, and this is somewhat the prompt of this topic to talk about today. There's an interesting case that came out of British Columbia in 2013, which had a person who was acting as attorney creating a trust for, it was actually the father, he created the trust for his father, and it was done using the power of attorney document. And the question before the court was whether in fact a person acting as an attorney can create a trust for the grantor of the power of attorney. And the issue has actually been discussed in a number of the provinces, but it very prominently was brought up in this case. And what happened in the case is the trust that was set up, effectively, it mirrored what the ultimate distribution of the father's property would be had his property just gone through his estate. However, because the trust was set up, it allowed for a reduction and an elimination of probate taxes. And the question then, the reason why it went before the court, was because one of the beneficiaries was questioning the ability of the attorney to create this trust. And the court decided that because it paralleled the trust terms and the ultimate distribution paralleled what would have happened out of the will, then it was acceptable to create that trust for the father in that case.
But it also speaks to the point that when we are in this role, it is a very important and a very serious role. And before we go ahead and do creating things like trusts, people should really go and talk to their lawyers, talk to their accountants, and say, here's what I'm thinking about. Does this make sense? Is it legal? And your example speaks to a family situation that created, I believe, some stress between the beneficiaries, and luckily it turned out well. But people really need to be mindful that these documents are so important, and what we try to do with this project is to encourage people to go back to their lawyers, go back to their accountants and say, let's talk, does this make sense? So thank you for that example.
And I think that's a very important point, and I'm sure that you're emphasizing exactly what you said over and over to people who are making use of the material that you're creating, that you do need to consult with appropriate professionals. And the further part to that, and you did state it, to not only consult with the professionals, but consult with professionals who may have different areas of expertise. What a lawyer would be focused on might not be the same thing that an accountant may be focused on. So that it's important that you understand, or that you get some guidance on the legal effect of what you're doing and whether you're capable of doing it, as well as guidance as to the tax issues that can come out of it, which usually will come from an accountant, could come from a lawyer, and you'd also have some other financial advisors who could have some input on that discussion.
Absolutely. And to add to that, are there any drawbacks that we need to consider?
Well, I guess that really rolls right into the issue that I just commented off of what you were talking about the professional advisors. In what was attempted to be achieved and was achieved in that case, that British Columbia case, was a reduction of probate tax. The problem that can come up is that the creation of a trust generally can be a taxable event. so that when the property that belongs to the original holder of that property is transferred into the trust, you could have a tax liability that arises because a disposition may be forced or deemed on the transfer into the trust. And so following that British Columbia case, a question was posed at a conference with the Canada Revenue Agency whether the creation of that type of a trust would be a taxable event, which would be a negative, obviously, triggering capital gains related taxes. And although the Canada Revenue Agency response wasn't explicit, didn't go into the a yes and no, it did repeat the issues that were raised in the court case, and that if a provincial court on reviewing a creation of a trust of this nature was content that it was legally possible for the trustee to create that trust, then the transfer of the property in this particular case, it's called an alter ego trust, so the father was actually the beneficiary of the trust himself, then the Canada Revenue Agency stated that it would be content that there would be a rollover of the property without there being tax having to be paid at that time on creating that trust. So that it's a positive that that not only could you have the effect of creating the trust for the estate planning purpose, but you also would not trigger any taxes in this example when you do that.
And my final question for you is, can this be done in other provinces?
It certainly may be possible to do it in other provinces, and as we just discussed, it'd be important to consult with a lawyer to determine whether it's possible and whether it's advisable. Just one consideration right now, the federal government has introduced a legislation that's now been passed into law that will eliminate the tax benefit of creating trusts out of your will. The benefit had been that you would have graduated tax treatment of trusts that were created through your will. With that elimination, it could be that a person who had made out their will with the intention of creating those testamentary trusts has now become incapacitated, and the person operating as attorney for that now incapacitated person may want to consider estate planning steps for that person that may not have been considered before this change in the law. So it's worth having a discussion with a lawyer as the attorney whether undertaking estate planning may be a useful exercise to consider now with the elimination of those tax benefits for testamentary trusts.
Well, thank you for that, Doug, and I would like to thank you now for joining our project. Could you please share your corporate website address with us?
Our website is Invesco, INVESCO.ca. There is a section, if you search on the site, which has tax and estate materials on it, support materials that's available to the public. You'll have to take a little bit of a look around, and it can be helpful for people who are looking for some guidance on these kinds of issues.
Well, thank you for joining our project. And now to wrap up, Chris Cata and I have a few closing comments.
Mary, who are our initial project supporters?
We wish to acknowledge that this project is funded in part by the Government of Canada's New Horizons for Seniors program. Our other initial supporters include Care Connect, the Care Guide, the Healing Cycle Foundation, and Scotia Trust. Caregiving Matters is an internet-based registered Canadian charity dedicated to educating and supporting family caregivers. 90% of our work is done online and by leveraging technologies. 10% is done by producing local educational events. We leverage technologies in everything that we do, ensuring greater reach and sustainability. I trust that we have given you some of the highlights of our exciting new initiative. If you are interested in speaking with me about the project, please let me know. We look forward to your questions and your ideas.
Mary, if listeners have questions, what's the best way for them to contact us?
Well, they can contact me, Mary Bart, Chair of Caregiving Matters. My email is mary@caregivingmatters.ca. Our telephone number is 905-939-2931, and our website is www.caregivingmatters.ca.